How you doing? Hello, do you hear me? There you go. Okay. Yeah, long time no see, huh? We're finishing up a series called Unstoppable. And again, those New Life notes that have the announcement on the bonds, it has the notes on the front side. And the notes on the front side are just a real key to finishing up because it really kind of explains a little bit for those who are followers of Jesus here what our life should be about. And it also connects too to those who are just checking this out. If sometimes someone is, you know, talking to you about Jesus, but hopefully it's in a very appropriate way. What New Life is not about at all is about trying to create really obnoxious people that are really aggressive. And I think if anything, people tend to err on the other side. And that there are a lot of people who are not followers of Jesus, have friends who are, but they never knew it because they never bring it up, they never talk about it. And so what this is about is just learning to be sincere, real people. And for those who are followers of Jesus, where this is a major major part of what your daily life is, just to find a real, courteous, authentic way to dialogue with people who are not followers of Jesus, who have curiosity sometimes they don't. But when it's appropriate, many times there are appropriate moments where you really should be talking about those things that matter about us both. That is, we're going to live and we are going to, yes, we're going to pass on. And about the great mystery that happens beyond here, and people need to make choices and decisions about that. And of course, that's a lot about what Jesus is about. So we have your New Life's mission, and you look at your notes, we've talked about this for the last 2 weeks, and that is New Life Church is here to lead people to become what? To become fully devoted followers of Christ. And so let's say that together. New Life's mission, let's read this together. Ready? Ready? To lead people, let's try it again. One, two, three. To lead people to become fully devoted followers of Christ. Yeah, Jesus Christ. And so what that doesn't mean is to be fanatical. Doesn't mean to be arrogant, judgmental. It doesn't mean any of that. It doesn't mean all of a sudden you turn into some kind of weird, church person. It means God has created just really unique people and unique personalities, and what it does is it takes the bad part of that out to a great extent and allows people to become whom God wants them to be in order to share the good news with others. So let me ask you this. How many here feel like you have been called into ministry? You've been called in the ministry. Would you raise your hand? You feel like you've been called in the ministry? Okay. Okay, we have a few hands here. Going up, I want to look at this passage here. It's set up in Ephesians 4 and 11 and 12. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, and it says this. It was God who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of ministry. So it looks like there's some people here. You might not know what that word apostle means, or prophets or whatever. These are primarily teaching type positions. And it's teaching about what the Bible says and about really just how to do life in a healthy way. But it says that they are to prepare those that are followers of Jesus that don't have these special teaching gifts. And that's called God's people. And they're to prepare them to do what? They're to prepare them for works of what? What does it say here? For works of ministry. Okay, so if we're looking at this, there's a whole bunch of people. There's a small amount, actually, kind of like guys of like me that God's called to stand up on a platform like this and talk to y'all, okay? And we are called to talk to many out here who are followers of Jesus. By no means at New Life are all. We have many people that are just kind of here and they're really taking things in and they're evaluating and all of that. And as you know, you are so welcome to be here. You're part of New Life. And New Life wouldn't be New Life if it was just full of convinced followers of Jesus. That is not how God ever created, put New Life together. But for those that are trying to be sincere followers of Jesus, it looks like you're prepared to do works of ministry So it seems to me like, according to this passage, if you're here today and you're really trying to be a follower of Jesus and you're really kind of God's people, it looks to me like the connection is you are called to ministry. Can you see the connection there? So, if I were to ask the question, how many of you here think that you are called to ministry, would you raise your hand? What do you think it would be? Okay? All right. So anyway, and I know a lot of you didn't raise, you know, because I didn't want to kind of those that aren't followers, we're not trying to demarcate that at all, okay? And so as we're looking at this passage here, you might be going, man, John, I can't see that. I don't see how I can be that because I'm not good enough, or I don't know enough about the Bible, or you don't know what I did this week, and you have all of this stuff. I want to look at the second passage here where it says this: for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Who are perishing? They're choosing on their own. You know, it's never God intended anyone to be in this route or to be doing this, but they're just completely writing off God and completely writing off any of his claims. It's their choice to be doing that. And by doing that, I understand what they're saying. Look, if you think there's absolutely no God, and if you think that it's only about just right here and right now, then really, it's all about just enjoying what you can enjoy, and if that affects other people in certain ways, so be it. If it's all about just living life to its greatest right now, so make as much money as you can, live to the gusto that you can, enjoy what you can, or, you know, be completely stressed out that it's all absurd anyway, what some of our greatest philosophers have done, existentialist philosophers like Jean-Paul Sartre, Albert Camus, and many, many others just say this whole thing's absurd. It's just a nauseating idea of why are we even here? It's just a sick game. We're just kind of here and gone. What's the purpose of that? Or you block all that out and you just kind of focus on just enjoying every day as much as you can, and then go out big, and if you have debts, no problem, you're dead, your kids will have to pay for it. Okay. So it's one or the other here. There are choices to be made. And so for those that say this whole God thing, then this whole thing is foolish, what we're doing. But let's go on with this. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Brothers, sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Paul's writing to a group of people in a place called Corinth, which made Las Vegas look like a convent, okay? It was just wild, wild, wild place. Brothers, think of what you were before you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. I mean, some were. There were some like this, but the majority were not the beautiful people. They were not the celebrities. They were not the wealthy. They were not the influential. They were kind of like the invisible people on the side of the wall. And I remember being in a group like that, and it was, I'm sure it was unintentional. I was in a group of multimillionaires and a few billionaires, you know, guys that own things like, they didn't own a franchise, they own things like Sonic, you know, drive-in restaurants and stuff like that. And I remember being in a group of people that were dressed in casual Armani suits, you know, casual Armani suits, things like that. And I was just, I was doing fine, but I remember one of the staff people brought me up to, says, man, I really want you to meet so-and-so. And it's brought me up to meet so-and-so, and so-and-so kind of half listens to the staff guy, doesn't look at me, and just blows right on past to someone else, which is fine. I get the purpose of that meeting and what they were there for. But I definitely felt like I was maybe not a multimillionaire right at that moment, okay? All right? All right. And so there's something going on here where it says not many of you, you know, the demarcation of elevation because of wealth or not wealth was so much more intensified at this point. So if you're a person of wealth and a person of means, your words were listened to. And this is also a slave economy. So there were a huge amount of people where any of, or none of your words meant nothing ever. Okay? And so he's saying not many of you were wise, not many of you were influential, not many of you were noble birth. You are not the cool people. You are not the attractive people. You are not the, you know, whatever. And we have that in our culture today. You know, if there's a movie celebrity and they have a certain opinion or whatever, they can get on talk shows, can they not? They can get on talk shows and talk about all they want. And then you get the cool people kind of, I don't know if they actually have secret meetings where they get together to decide on what is cool and not cool. And then they start to spout this out on the TV shows and everything else. And so if you're out there in public community and you happen to bring up a certain thing in a certain way, and then all of a sudden you're not a cool person because you don't align your opinions exactly with what the best and the brightest and the beautiful are saying in our media culture. Do you see what I mean? You're hateful, you're intolerant, and you will be portrayed on television and movie settings as being obnoxious, unattractive, socially inept, and blah, 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 all across the board. That is how people communicate, or unintelligent. Definitely, if you have certain opinions, it automatically cuts 50 points off of your IQ, okay? Which I cannot afford, by the way, just to let you know that. All right, so I'm kind of at the borderline as it is. All right. So, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. He chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. In fact, the word here is moriah or morose, which means folly, foolishness, or just plain old foolish. And, you know, to be a follower of Jesus, in many ways, the world will look at you that way. I mean, you know, sincerity is always a good thing. Well, if they're sincere about their faith, that's fine. But to be sincere about your faith in our culture is shut up, don't ever talk about it, you know, keep it to yourself, and just stay invisible and out of the way, and then help someone who's in financial need. But don't be a part of the influencing process. Don't be a part of all of this. Just quietly, don't talk to anyone else about it. Just be quiet, stay out of the way, and then go busy yourself helping someone. Do something good, okay? And that's kind of where it's at in our culture today. So it's seen as foolish, but look, here's the good news about who God's called. God doesn't call the prepared, but he prepares the called. So that kind of includes everyone here, including me. No one would have really thought I'd be doing what I'm doing, especially, you know, I've gone back to my high school reunion stuff, and then they find out what I'm doing. It's kind of like, I don't know if it was a compliment or not. They're going, really? So you know, it's like God doesn't call the prepared. He prepares the called. And if you're a follower of Jesus here, you might not feel adequate in any way, but he will prepare you. You might go, well, my life's out of control. You know, my finances are like this, or my marriage is in this situation, or and you don't know how many times I kicked the dog this week, or, you know, just whatever. You don't know what I looked at on the internet this week, okay? All right? Or just, you know, whatever things you've blown it or areas you've sinned or whatever. You know what? God calls very flawed, broken people. And I want to let you know, new life is made up of them. And like I've told people who've been interviewed for staff here, sure, there's a level of accountability and there's a level of credibility that we look for. But one of the questions I say is, if your life is all together, you will not fit in with the staff at New Life. You will not fit in. Everyone here is limping or crippled in some way, but we're honest about it. And so that's where you should be at too, and it's okay. When they saw it, look, it says in Acts 4, this is Peter, who had been a fisherman, and him and his brother John and some others had been called. They were out there fishing on the water, and they were having a bad time of it. Jesus helped them out, did a miracle. And then I'll tell you that story a little bit more in just a minute. But then they were called in the ministry. This is way down the line after all that happened, and Jesus is risen from the dead. They're doing ministry. And there's a setting where they're talking in front of all these people. Peter never dreamed he would have ever done that. And you know what? You might not dream at all where God wants to use you someday in the future. You just don't know. Some of you think, you know what? I am only 32 days clean in recovery. And yet someday God might have you helping lead and direct a Celebrate Recovery ministry. You just don't know where God might want to use you someday. You just don't know. When they saw the courage, who? These religious officials were looking on, and these guys were disrupting this whole city. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized that they were unschooled. Here's the phrase, ordinary men, and they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Now, the way this kind of cleans it up, ordinary men, the word there is itiotes. Guess what word we get from that? Any guesses at all? Any guesses? All right. Idiots. Absolutely. And you see how the Bible kind of cleans it up. They were ordinary men. And the original language, they said, these guys are just idiots. And yet, look at them. You know, how can they do this? They're just idiots. And what does it mean? Here's another term, ignoramus. That's an actual word. You thought it wasn't. It is. Ignoramus is an actual word. An ignorant, unlearned person. An idiot. And so really, I looked at unstoppable idiots and their foolish ways. And it might look like that in our culture today. So who did Jesus hang out with? I want to let you know this. He hung out with very common people. He didn't go to the movers and the influencers and shakers exclusively per se. He never excluded anyone, whether they had a lot of money or they had no money. And there are stories where Jesus was with some of the very wealthiest people. So it's certainly not that either. But there's a pattern here where we just hang out. But a lot of the very wealthy were some of the most notorious people also. And so he hung out with very common people, questionable people. He hung out with corrupt people. He hung out with prostitutes. Oh my. Ah, he did. He hung out with what would have been like today, the, you know, kind of gambling kingpins and corrupt people, the scandalous. He never, however, selected people to be his followers who were a part of the religious establishment, ever. So when you're in a bar or whatever and someone says, well, I'm against organized religion. Well, you know, they have a point there to an extent. I get it. And that's why New Life has never been organized. You know? So it's never an excuse to come here. So, let's look at this a little bit. Idiots who have been with Jesus and what they are like and how you can be one too. Not just an idiot, but an idiot who's been with Jesus. So we're going to look at that. And one of the deals here, one of the first ones is Peter. We already talked about him just a minute. Simon Peter. This is when Jesus first called him in the ministry. He felt really inadequate. He said this, when Simon Peter saw what? This miracle that Jesus had done, he'd fished all night, got nothing. Jesus said, put your nets on the other side, see what happens. And so he did, and then boom, it just his nets were full, and he saw the miracle that was. That was a miracle. And so he fell at Jesus' knees, and he said, go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. And Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you're going to catch men. And you know what? That was humorous. They would have all been laughing when he said that right there. Yeah, but it was also significant, too, because they caught the spiritual meaning of this, that there is a whole group of people that need to hear the good news. So they pulled their boats up at the shore, and what does it say? They left what? What did they leave? They left everything and followed him. Now, that wasn't irresponsible. Because if you look later on in other accounts, you see that they still own homes. Because it says each disciple went back to their own home. It says that Peter went to his home. So it wasn't they liquidated all their houses and all this other stuff. But there became a season where they became intense followers of Jesus Christ. And there was a definite sacrifice to do this. But they followed Jesus. I guess the way it was this. Have you ever watched, I could ask this. Did anyone ever watch, like, the World Series of Poker? Am I the only one? Okay, I'm starting to get some other people interested now for the first time. Really? Yeah. Okay. Okay, there's some cool things that happen there, okay? Not only the strategy that's there. And by the way, I'm not a gambler. Just thought I'd let you know. Except when we need money for New Life, then I'm just kidding. we're going to take your money and go to Vegas. No, that is not going to happen. But there's one thing I really like about this deal, that there is a courageous step that you can take place. You know, you can kind of bet a certain amount and throw in some chips or whatever, but then there is this one bet. You know what it is? It's called all what? All in. Yeah. All in. That's it. You know what? I'm banking that this is it. I am all in on. That's what they did. And that's really what Jesus is wanting you to do, is just be all in. But what many times we want to do is we want to pray this little prayer. We want to pray this little prayer. Dear Jesus, thank you for forgiving me my sins, da-da-da-da-da. Oh, good. Now my eternity is taken care of. I'm going to go to heaven. I got that crossed off the list. I have life insurance, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I got this. And I'm going to go live my life. See? And that doesn't really fit. And the scary thing is, you think you might be all right with the Lord when you're not. Because New Life is about what the Bible says, and the Bible says we are to lead people to become fully devoted followers of Christ. And some of you are hanging on to a whole lot of chips that you've never really pushed in. And you've wanted to be respectable, you've wanted to do certain things, and you're kind of hanging in, yeah, I'll do this for you, I'll do that, but you have never gone all in. And that's really what he called. They gave their whole lives to him, is what it says. Idiots who have been with Jesus give their whole lives to Jesus. And then this is the result of that, is they become unstoppable. And this is what's happened. Historians still cannot figure out how in the world Christianity became this dominant influence, at least in the Occidental, in the whole Western world, and it's made gigantic inroads into the whole, what you call the Eastern influence of this globe. Yeah, you know, I since I haven't asked permission, I'm going to keep this very vague, but I know someone that's sitting right here, right now, in this service at the Life Campus, 8:30, who God radically changed. And this person lived in the East, that's all I'm going to say. And they were involved in a very kind of more violent type of life. But the reality of who Jesus Christ was reached out and got a hold of this individual, radically changed him, and he spent the rest of his life telling everyone everywhere about how Jesus had changed him, and sometimes a great sacrifice. And I honor this individual who's here for the race that they have ran. This is someone that's, you know, this isn't a Western civilization deal. This is the reality of Christ is relevant for anyone, anywhere, any country, any language, any situation, and has reached out and has radically changed people, and I'm so grateful for that. And we need to honor people like that because it becomes unstoppable, you guys. And what happened in the early church here in Jerusalem when it first started, an explosion took place. They tried to contain it, and it just couldn't happen. They were killing these guys. They were imprisoning these guys, and it wasn't helping. They just kept going. This was an explosion of radical love. It was not hiding a bomb in a turban and expressing your faith by killing other people. It was never that. Ever, ever, ever. Now look what happened here. They actually ended up imprisoning Peter again, and they're trying to, the religious officials are trying to control this whole situation. And one of the great scholars, his name was Gamaliel, was Hillel Gamaliel, the two top radically influential scholars of this time. They had two different schools. It'd be like Harvard and Princeton type thing. And Gamaliel was part of this meeting, and he said this, "Therefore, in the present case, I advise you," he said this to the other leaders. By the way, the religious leaders at this time were also the political leaders, okay? "I advise you, leave these men alone." Who? That's Peter and John and some of these new followers of Jesus. "Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God." Now, if you read on in this passage, they named three or four different other flash-in-the-pan leaders. that had kind of come along and whipped the people up, got an organization going, and then it all fell apart. And so Gamaliel is really talking from experience, and that made sense to them. Oh, yeah, we've seen flash of the pans before. But I think they knew in their gut, listen, Jesus was different. This whole thing with Jesus was different. And they couldn't wrap their minds around the reality that it really seemed that he really had risen from the dead, because the Bible, primary resource, said up to 500 people had witnessed Jesus risen from the dead. And they're going, you know, this seems to really be the case. This is different. So Gamaliel's right. Look, if this is from God, you're not going to be able to stop it anyway. And you know what? It led to just radical changes for so many people. Just let me give you a couple of examples. I just wanted to give you early historic examples, because historians, like I said, have not been able to explain how in the world this tiny little backwater movement of very few non-influential people has exploded and continues to grow, and it has a radical trajectory rate as never seen before. The church is growing faster today in the 21st century than it has ever grown, even from the earliest days here in the book of Acts. How do you explain that? It's just phenomenal what's happened. But I think it's because there have been tons of people whose lives have been radically changed from this. Let me just give you a couple. People you've never heard of, but they have experienced faith in Christ. One is a Roman general who was, his name was Maurice, and he was the head of a whole Roman legion, an elite Roman legion, and this is in the 200s, and he was an Egyptian man and found Jesus Christ as his Savior, and in fact, he not manipulated or ordered, but the word of this tradition story says the whole legion, and I don't know, that's thousands of soldiers. They were an elite legion, and they were put out on an outpost in one of the most hostile areas. There was, I guess, what you'd call a revival or whatever, swept that legion, and everyone became followers of Jesus in this legion. It was the only what was called Christian legion at the time in the 200s. Well, there was the news of Christ had started to come to this outpost. It was Agamon, is the name of it. It was in the Alps area, what would be modern-day Switzerland or Italy. And the emperor commanded this general. There was a village out there who had come to Christ. And there was like 3,000 people in this village. And they many, most of them had come to a faith in Jesus Christ just recently. And the emperor of Rome ordered this legion general to slaughter everyone in this village because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And so this Christian general went to his troops, and to a man, he asked them, "This is the order I have been given from our emperor that we have been sworn to obey. What should we do?" And to a man, they came back and they said, "We can't do this. These are our brothers and sisters in Christ. They have harmed no one." And the reputation of Christians at that time, they were the gentlest. They would go out and help the poor and the sick and the needy more than anyone else. Primary resources, pagan primary resources, validate this reputation of early Christians time and time and time again. Even when there were plagues, and the rich and the priests and the pagan priests and all, they would flee the city. They say the Christians would stay behind and not only take care of themselves, they would take care of our own pagan leaders who were diseased and dying. What idiots. What idiots. Well, this is what happened. The general refused the orders, and he wrote back to the emperor. This is recorded. "We are your soldiers, yes, but we are also the soldiers of God. To you we owe the dues of military service, but to him the purity of our souls." The emperor was infuriated, and he ordered the execution of the general and every single one of the soldiers of that legion. Everyone. They laid down their lives, because they were idiots for Jesus. Also from the 200s, I found graffiti. See graffiti around here? I'd like to show you this picture of graffiti, if we could get it up on the wall. See if we can get this up. here, hopefully we have it, and we will find that. So until we do, I don't know if we're able to find it or not. If you can't, that's all right. Okay, there's a picture of a guy, and there's a drawing, very crude drawing, of a guy on a cross, a naked guy, and his head is the head of a jackass. And then there's a picture of a young man off to the side, almost a stick figure, with his hand raised like this, and he kind of has a look of worship on his face. And the inscription underneath the picture, and it's scribbled in a bathroom of all places. Who would write things in bathrooms? I don't know. Okay, but it was. This is actually in an ancient restroom. Picture of this naked individual with the head of a jackass, an Alexamenos, with his hand raised, and the inscription underneath that is this. Of course, it's a picture of Christ, right? And the picture underneath that is, Alexamenos worships his God. Alexamenos worships his God. And I'm sitting there thinking as I see this picture, and maybe we'll find it and be able to get it up by the end. I'm thinking of this young man as he's raising his hand, worshiping Jesus Christ, and everyone around him thinks he's a total idiot. And all of those emperors and all of that power, all through the centuries, it's gone. But look who's standing in front of you today. One dude trying to do what Jesus wants him to do. And look where you are. The church is alive and well, you guys. But yet there are tons of people sitting out at Starbucks and hanging out at malls and whatever. People just like you and me, people no better, no worse than you and me. But you know what? The only reason that I could say anything good about me is because what the Savior Jesus Christ has done in my life. And a lot of people don't really sense deep down in their heart how much they need Christ. And so I want to leave you with one other application here, and it's this. How does God want to use you to partner with other believers at New Life Church to help reach people? How does God want to use you? It's on your notes right there, and it leaves a place to write something in, if you would do that. You know, we have an invitation that's gone out to our community. How many of you received it? It said, upgrade your life in a downsized world. Okay, no one in this section. Oh, okay, someone over here, and a few here. And it's a great invitation, you guys. Don't blow that off. Don't blow that off. Use this as a great opportunity. It's going to be a very practical, very helpful series to invite other friends, to invite them here to be a part of the kingdom of God. So, you know what, you guys? We had prayer this morning, and we're going to have prayer this afternoon, and I want you to come. You know, we have it broken down in one-hour prayer slots, 1 to 2, 2 to 3, 3 to 4, 4 to 5. I don't know if we have 5 to 6 or not. I forgot. But, okay, 5 to 6, okay? And this is what we're asking you to do. We're going to have different ministries share their heart, share their vision of what God's doing, and then we're going to have prayer for those ministries. And then definitely 5 to 6, we're going to pray for the church as a whole. We've had a whole group of people that have laid hands on the names written on these posters right here, 6 a.m. to 7 a.m., 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. And these are people who are not better than anyone else. All they know is Jesus has done something within their life. And so we're asking you to come and be a part of praying for others today. Now, another thing we're asking you to do is fast lunch. We gave you Cinnabons already today. My goodness, okay? But we're asking you to fast lunch, and then we're asking you to come back and pray. This is critically important for the future of New Life. Let me give you this. This is how the early church prayed. Peter and John were arrested, and then they were miraculously freed from that. And you know what? This is how we tend to pray. Oh, dear God, please protect their family, and oh, my goodness, protect them from that ever happening to them again. And God, you know the needs, and you know, we pray. 90%, they've done surveys, 90-95% all prayers of followers of Jesus are about my needs, the needs of my family, the needs of what I'm feeling at the time. 90-95% of prayers are about me and mine. Jesus cares about that. He knows about that. But this is how the early church prayed after Peter and John were arrested and then they were released. This is what they said. The threats were very real. The threats were very real, as we see from these stories here that I gave you. But this is what they prayed. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. That's what their prayer was. It wasn't, oh God, help them not to pick on us anymore. Oh God, I'm feeling bad because the cool, beautiful people think I'm dumb. That wasn't what they prayed. Said, God, I don't care if I look like an idiot. Now, I don't want you to for the right reasons, look like an idiot. Okay? You don't have to be socially graceless to be a follower of Jesus. That's what I'm saying. But if it's for Jesus' sake, because of a gentle but confident and firm stand you have on certain things, then so be it. Does that make sense to you? To get love right. You know, only 3% of followers of Jesus ever share their faith with someone else. Ever. And sometimes people are begging them to. Do you know who Jesus is? No, not really. Yeah, well, kind of. And then, you know, come on, you guys. I'm not saying you have to be weird. I'm not saying you have to buy a 10-speed bicycle and go door to door. Okay? No disrespect. But I'm saying, just let's get love right on this. Let's get love right. Now, it says, now to him he was able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. You know what all generations means here? Some of you have kids. And your impact in your home will be the greatest influence on them, way more than New Life Church. And so follow the call, you guys. You want them to grow up. Do you want them to just grow up and be a good citizen? You can. But you know what? Challenge them to really learn who Jesus Christ is, because Jesus is the Savior. He's the hope of the world. That's why New Life is here. That's why we talk about new buildings. That's why we're doing all of this. We start a new series next week. Invite some friends to be a part of this. We'll be so respectful to them. Don't worry about that. You know, if anything's offensive, it's going to be the teachings of Christ. It's not going to be because of weird church culture stuff, okay? It's not going to be about that. Let's have a word of prayer on this right now.